I am on the Ronde Barber watch. You know, the string beans, the turnip, the mashed potatoes, the gravy, the cranberries, the creamed onions, tacos, the brisket, the burgers. You know, the time that Brady's getting right now, Steve, it's ridiculous. This guy's different. He's an asshole, but he belongs.
Mold in your house, water damage, flood, fire, whatever it is, it means you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. 24/7, they will respond. They'll come out and give you a free assessment in your home to determine what needs to be done to get everything cleaned up. They'll work with your insurance company if you're having a problem and to make sure you don't get ripped off by your insurance company. Florida's Elite Restoration, they're a strong local company. Owner Josh Martin, great family business, but not too small. They cover the whole Tampa Bay area. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Call them first before you call anyone else. Florida's Elite Restoration. Yay, yay. Buccaneers fans, Thanksgiving is in the books, and the sage of Tampa Bay sports, he's back for episode 1 of 2 of this week, this turning point kind of week in the world of the Buccaneers. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Ira, man, he is just fired up. The king of Newport Richie himself. It's all brought to you by Bill Curry Ford and Black Friday at Bill Curry Ford. I'm not sure there's anything else to say. Black Friday, Bill Curry Ford. You get yourself down there, and they're going to work with you. They've got inventory. You can check it all out at BillCurryFord.com. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. There are some great incentives if you're looking to order a new vehicle. So much more. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, our man Sean Sullivan. He's been traveling for business. But you can still reach out. You can still ask for the Joe Bucks Fan, Ira Kaufman discount, whatever you want to call it. They will get in touch with him. And we're fired up to have Sean back next week with his Best in Class podcast. Ira, what was on the menu? How much did you eat? What's the over-under on calories? You need to lay it out for us.
Long, long day, Stevie. I'm a little fatigued. I haven't hit the scales yet. I'm in no hurry to do so. Soup to nuts. I put so much on my plate, Isbitz, I didn't even go back for seconds. And you know me, you know how rare that is. You know, the string beans, the turnip, the mashed potatoes, the gravy, the cranberries, the creamed onions, and of course, topped off by the turkey. What a fantastic 6 hours at my brother-in-law's Palm Coast. 7 hours of driving, Steve, back and forth. 7 hours, but well worth it. Or my son, living in Cleveland now, so a little weary. But as I look around, Steve, at the Buck landscape, everything seems to be breaking the Bucks' way. Steve, if they can take care of business on Sunday, they can virtually wrap up the NFC South. I know you're going to sing all the praises of the Carolina Panthers to me, but the Saints have fallen apart, Steve. They are done. They don't even know who the quarterback is. So the Bucks should win this division easily and have it wrapped up in the next few weeks, possibly. And so that means they will not be taking the road route exclusively in the postseason.
So, Sage, we didn't have you after the Giants game on Monday night. You were under the weather Monday night and weren't able to go to the game, but you did bounce back 100%. We had the holiday. We chose to do it this way. So first, I know you had a little bit of a story this week. You didn't even tell me, but I know I could tell you were hinting at it. We've learned now that Ronde Barber is a Hall of Fame semifinalist for the 2022 class. No surprise there whatsoever since he was a finalist in recent years. But Simeon Rice did not make the cut. So what's going on, Ira?
You know, I got the list a little bit early. They sent it to the selectors. You know, I read the list to Brooks, and I read the list to Barber, and they were distraught about Simeon Rice. So Buck fans can't understand what's going on. Robert Mathis is on there, and Simeon Rice is not. I think by all accounts, Simeon was the better player. Now, Steve, as far as Ronde's concerned, you know, I already got him on my mind, obviously. Lynch is off the ballot. I only got one speech to make this year. Only one. Ronde's my sole focus. So, you know, I got some quotes from some people, but I need more. I need people with a little clout. So I was thinking, Steve, you know, the Chiefs are on a bye week. They don't have a game. Andy Reid knows who I am. I've seen him over the years at these NFL meetings. My wife used to play tennis with his wife at NFL meetings. So I decided to dispatch an email to Andy Reid, unsolicited, out of nowhere, on his off week. And I sent it out Tuesday morning and told him, greetings from Tampa. And I'm working on Rondé Barber. And what do you think of him as a Gold Jacket member? Mr. Isbitz, I got a response within 1 hour. 1 hour, Andy Reid's email. First he said, hope you're doing well. Great to hear from you, Ira. And then he proceeded to give me about 12 sentences on Rondé Barber, all his qualifications, mental toughness, durability, most of all in football intelligence, how great a tackler he was, how physical he was. And he wrapped it up by saying, there's not a doubt in my mind, Rondé Barber deserves a bust in Canton, Ohio. I was stunned he answered so quickly. And, you know, Steve, you've seen him in many, many interview sessions. He's not a man of a lot of words, Andy Reid. So I expected maybe a sentence or two if he even answered. I responded immediately and said, can't thank you enough, Andy. He answered me back, have a great Thanksgiving, you and your family. And I've got a hell of a quote from Andy Reid. Now, that's the very good news, Steve, to bring into that room. Because you know I like guys that game planned for Rondé Barber, that played against Rondé Barber. That's what you got to get. You don't get any clout from Herm Edwards talking about coaching Rondé Barber. That doesn't do you any good in that room, because what else is Herm Edwards going to say, really? So that's the good news. Steve, the bad news is last year I had a fantastic quote from John Gruden, a really even better than Reid, and I used it in the room. I was thinking about it so good, I was thinking of using it again, but Steve, given the circumstances, I think I will bury John Gruden's quote and not use it. And I'm not finished, Steve. I'm calling Brett Favre in a week or two. I'm going to get Favre, and I am on the Rondé Barber watch. Steve, now look, this is the last thing I'll say about it. He did not make the first cut last year from 15 to 10. He was eliminated. And it was his first year as a finalist, and he was eliminated. So that was a bummer. I was hoping to at least get him in the top 10. So it is a jump. It's a jump when you don't make it, and then the next year you get in to the hall. That's a jump. But if anybody can do it, it's Rondé Barber, and if any year he can do it, it's this year, because DeMarcus Ware is the number one first-year eligible. And Steve, by any standards, DeMarcus Ware is not Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson. So Rondé's got a shot. He's got a legitimate shot.
Wow, Ira, that is really interesting stuff. Did you close the email by saying, hey, Andy, your wife's serve sucks?
You know what? She's pretty damn good, and she's better than my wife, so I have nothing to say.
I got it. You know, this is a great example, Ira, of when we say, you know, on the podcast, Ira knows everybody, nobody's sources are better than Ira's, it's not just like you got the guy's phone number. There's always a story behind it. There's always like, well, you know, me and Scott Pioli, there was that time where, right. Blah, 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 you know, and my wife, fixed his shoes. You know, there's always something to it, you know? And
absolutely. And, you know, Reed's a class act, Steve, and what he's gone through with his boys, you wouldn't wish that on anybody, Steve. But, you know, he keeps that stiff upper lip. And the Chiefs are straightening out right now. So, Steve, I think he's one of the most beloved figures in the National Football League. I don't think anybody has anything bad to say about Andy Reid. And he really came through for me with Rondé Barber.
I think, Ira, you might want to get your pencil out, but I think you could have a good a fun, lighthearted line right there in the Hall of Fame room. You could say, hey, do any of you really want to disappoint Andy Reid? You know, that
you
might.
Know, Steve, I think I'm going to preface his quote by telling the story of how quickly he got back to me. You know, he could have disregarded it. He could have said he never got it. Or he could have said, you know, I really don't believe in Rondé Barber. You know, he got his man, Brian Dawkins, in a few years ago ahead of John Lynch, and he was happy about that. And Steve, I've never taken a shot at Brian Dawkins on this show, and I never will. Hell of a player. But now there's no eagle out there, so he feels unencumbered. And if anybody's broken his man's heart, it's Rondé Barber, Steve. You know that.
And you can embellish the story a little bit, Iris. Say that you emailed him on Thanksgiving morning and said, hey, happy Thanksgiving, Andy, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, you could pull that off, Iris. You could stretch it 24 hours or so.
I really could, Steve, except there might be a couple of selectors that listen to this podcast, Stevie. You never know. You never know.
Yeah, you could just claim early dementia. You know, everybody will buy it. All right, hey, listen, Iris. Listen, Iris. Black Friday tire sales event at Bill Curry Ford on top of everything else going on there. BillCurryFord.com. What a weekend to buy a vehicle. Bill Curry Ford, mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. That's serious business because Big Storm is Florida's very best craft beer, and you will be at their tap room, as you always are, for Bucks Road games with Zach the Man Beast former intern, right, on Sunday.
That's right.
Big Storm Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. What a menu. And, of course, all the great Big Storm beers, beautiful outdoor covered seating with Wi-Fi, all the games, beautiful indoors as well. And then they've got the tap rooms in Odessa, right there off State Road 54, and Orlando at the Amway Center and in Cape Coral. Big Storm gift cards are a fantastic holiday gift, but there's nothing beats the beer, which you can get in Publix and many other locations. The Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA, it is a home run. They've got so many others. Ira, on Sunday, hang with the Sage. You hang out, you show up 12:15 or so, you get a good seat for what's going to be a hell of a game, and you hang out with Ira. You say hello. Ira will sign autographs. He'll eat your French fries. Everybody knows the drill, but Big Storm beer, that's what you want to enjoy for every Buccaneers game and whenever you enjoy beer. So there you go, Ira.
Great atmosphere out there. The weather should cooperate. It should be a good game. People bring their dogs out. It's just fantastic. The menu's great. The wait staff, fantastic. Steve, I go up and down that menu from, you know, the tacos, the brisket. The burgers are great. You know, Steve, Zach's doing a heck of a job. I believe he's up in Alabama. He's covering colleges. He's covering high schools. He's pissing off coaches. They're not used to real scrutiny, Steve, but we've trained our man. We've trained our man, Zach. You got to be strong. If they stink, you don't pretty it up. You say it. They're not used to it.
All right, Sage. Interesting how you completely take a shot at Alabama journalism. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Ira. Your Kyra, look, I'm excited by the Rondé Barber possibilities, and I still think you should use that John Gruden quote just because, it'll get attention. Like I said, everybody will pay attention. You could even throw a line and say, hey, maybe it's worthless, but I know you guys are objective in here. You know, you could have some fun with these guys. I'm ready to take the reins from you in 2035, Ira, when you let go of your Hall of Fame vote. I'm prepping for the next 14 years.
You know, Steve, speaking of Hall of Fame quote, I don't think I'm ever going to top it with the Warren Sapp presentation, which I think, I wish I had a tape of it, Steve. It belongs in a time capsule, because I opened the whole thing telling this story about how I called Keyshawn Johnson. He was out in L.A. at the time, and I told him, Key, you know, in 2 weeks I'm going to be presenting Warren Sapp for the Hall of Fame. Does Sapp belong? Keyshawn Johnson didn't hesitate, Steve. Yeah, he belongs, Ira. He's an asshole, but he belongs. He's an asshole, but he belongs. And as soon as he said it, I hung up. I was in the Tribune office at the time, and there was Joey Johnston and Joe Henderson. And they all said, what Keyshawn say? I said, gentlemen, I've got the opening lines of my Warren Sapp presentation. And I went in there and told the story about talking to Keyshawn. And I said that quote with conviction. David Baker, the president of Hall, was sitting there and said, Ira, nobody's ever used that word in this meeting room in 40 years. I said, well, you just heard it. 3 hours later, Sapp was wearing a gold jacket. Steve, you can't top that one. He's an asshole, but he belongs.
Now, it's a classic story. It's as good hearing it now as the times I've heard it before. And it's a great opening to this podcast. So I'm sure everybody will hear that from the sage.
You can't use the same thing for Rondé Barber because he's not an asshole.
No, not at all. And I've got some good quotes from him, actually. We'll hit on the next podcast, which will be our deep preview look at the Colts with Lee DeCamper joining us. Now, Ira, sort of the narrative, and I hate using that word, but sort of it was so consistent because the Bucs were playing the Giants and because the Giants are in New York and because they fired their offensive coordinator and because they're the worst team in a bad division. The sort of the talking points kind of narrative from various ex-players and national media types that I heard all over the place, you know, I listen everywhere, was, the Bucs didn't do anything beating the Giants. Yeah, they got the job done, but the Giants are horrible. They're so poorly coached. They so didn't show up, even though there are other weapons coming out. Tiki Barber, who loves the Giants, and actually his number two team is the Bucs because his brother played for the Bucs, obviously. We've been talking about Rondé, and he's a lifelong friend of Bruce Arians. So there's no bias in Barber in the sense that, hey, he loves the Giants. He works out of New York, and he played for them, and the Bucs are his number two team. Nothing against the Bucs at all. He said, and I'll read you the quote, Ira. He said, when you don't do anything to combat the Bucs on either side of the ball, by default, they're going to win by 20. And he went on to say the Giants are horribly coached, and he went on to say it was the correct move to fire his good friend and former teammate, Jason Garrett, their offensive coordinator. And he continued to say that, basically, what did we learn about the Bucs? Nothing. Even Charlie Weiss, who gushes nonstop about Tom Brady as if it's his grandchild, he was on national radio. He had nothing good to say about the Bucs, other than he was mad that Mike Evans dropped a ball that put an interception on Tom Brady's stat line. He basically said the Giants were just so bad that, what do we know about the Bucs? Nothing. They won a home game. You know, you move on to the next week. What did you take away now that you look back? It's more of this. Do you buy any of that? Where does the sage stand?
Steve, it's a tired storyline. We heard the same thing after the Bears game, 38-3. What did the Bucs prove? They beat a bad team. You hear it all the time, Steve, but, you know, Buffalo went to Jacksonville and lost, Steve. Houston won a couple of weeks ago.
Tennessee, yeah.
Yeah, Tennessee. So these things happen. Steve, my biggest takeaway was the Buck defense was tremendous. I thought they were fantastic. Third downs after the middle of the first quarter, the Giants went 0-for-8. 0-for-8. I mean, they're a professional team. Daniel Jones is not the worst quarterback in the NFL. You know, he's number 22, but he's not the worst. He couldn't do a thing, Steve. He was under constant pressure. The secondary played much better. Joe Tryon showed up. Devin White continues to be a force on the blitz. So I was very impressed with the Buck defense playing with Vita Vea. Offensively, I can see the point, Steve. I didn't think Brady was spectacular. I thought he was okay. I thought the offensive line was masterful. You can say what you want about the Giants' pass rush. Yeah, they don't have an Aaron Donald. They don't have a Shaq Barrett. But, you know, the time that Brady's getting right now, Steve, it's ridiculous. He just doesn't get hit. The old line, including Stinney, who you never even noticed filling in for Mark Patton, that's a good thing. They're playing at a very high level. I got to give the Buck coaches a lot of credit. They really have molded a fine unit. Donovan Smith's playing good football. Jensen sets the tone up front. The O-line's playing very well. They're blocking well for the run. And Brady's happy. And I think that's, we'll talk more about the Colts game on the next podcast, but a healthy Brady gives the Bucs a hell of a chance. And that's the story midway through the 2021 season. The Bucs left some points out there. yeah, they probably should have scored 40. Without that penalty, which a lot of people think is a phantom penalty about Tristan Wirfs, I'm not so sure it was a phantom penalty. I don't think he was in great position, Wirfs. I'm used to him being absolutely square to the guy, and I don't think he was. So without that penalty, they get another touchdown. They would have been at the one-yard line right before the half. They scored that one. Steve, after a 20-point win, I'm not for nitpicking. They can play better. Maybe they have to play better the rest of the way, but they took care of business, and the Giants weren't playing horrible going into that game, and they were outclassed. So hats off to Bowles. He had a good defensive game plan, and he better have another one on Sunday.
Yeah, Arians explained that Wirfs penalty, based on where the referee was standing, and because of how the play looked to the referee, he said they're going to call that every time. And, of course, in any NFL game, there's 10, 20, 30 borderline holding calls anyway. So, you know, it's just was one of those things. But if you factor in that play, which probably wasn't holding, and you take the Brashard-Perriman drop in the end zone on what was an incredibly beautifully thrown deep ball, and you factor in that the Bucs, Ira, it took 16 plays on offense for them to get their first third down play. That's how efficient they were. 16 plays to get to third down. And then, as you wrote in your 10 takeaways column at Joe Bucs Fan, you know, the Giants punted with 7 minutes left, which was just waving the white flag, and that's when the Bucs took out Tom Brady. So, I mean, they jumped all over him, and the thing was over in 53 minutes. It's hard to really quibble. The offense may have been close to perfect. I just hate when those angles come, oh, the Bucs didn't do anything. It's the NFL, and especially this year, like you said eloquently, we've seen too many upsets already.
And, you know, the Bucs are running the ball pretty darn well, Steve, especially compared to the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season when we said, where the heck's Fournette? Where's the running game? They don't run at all. They're running just enough. That first drive was fantastic, Steve. Quick screens. And one thing that strikes me, Steve, the last couple of weeks, including the Leonard Fournette check down game a couple of weeks ago, the Bucs are not going downfield very often right now, Steve. They're not. Maybe missing Brown, maybe that's a factor. But everything's open for the Bucs right now. If they go to 8-3, I think they're in pretty darn good shape to make a run at the number one seed in the NFC. And by the way, at home, and I had that number, I think I might have knocked you right off your seat, Steve, because I couldn't believe it when I did the research. I think they averaged 24 points in the first halves at home, Steve. That's a huge number. And that's not influenced by those two Mike Edwards pick sixes. That's no factor there because that happened late in the game against Atlanta.
Right.
So 24 points in the opening half at home. And on the road, Steve, it's less than 10. That is a big disparity. And that could be a factor Sunday at Indy and looking forward. Could be a factor if they have to go on the road in the playoffs. There's a big, big difference in starting fast at home or on the road for this year's Buccaneers.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Ira. And I want to first mention, though, that Florida's Elite Restoration is everyone's first phone call if they have a flood in their home, fire, but they find mold. That's the first phone call. Florida's Elite Restoration. Their website is floridaseliterestoration.com. Owner Josh Martin works with all sorts of homeowners across the Tampa Bay area with his locally owned company. They're not too big to not give you family style service, but they're not too small where they can't handle big jobs and be all over the Bay Area. But Josh also works with property managers, air conditioning companies, plumbers, you name it, because they run into disasters all the time and they need a good, honest restoration team to help their customers. So you can reach out directly to owner Josh Martin. He'll lay out what Florida's Elite Restoration does for homeowners and businesses. The best part is they give you a free, honest assessment of what's happening in your home. If you're a homeowner, you call them immediately 24/7. They'll come out and tell you what's going on and maybe work with your insurance company if you need it. And it's just great to have that honest peace of mind, which can be hard to find when things are going badly. Florida's Elite Restoration. Bucks.com. Ira, I got to bring this up because you mentioned the way the Bucks are starting and the quality of the offense. And, you know, you laughed at me when I was telling you in the offseason this could be arguably the greatest offense in NFL history. Now, they've had some injuries, and it hasn't played out that way yet, but they still lead the league in scoring. They're still up over 30 a game. There's still a long way to go. And one thing that makes it interesting, Ira, from a Hall of Fame perspective or just from the historical end of it, is right now Tom Brady, I believe, is averaging 42.3 pass attempts per game, fourth highest all time if the season ended today. That would be the highest, fourth highest number in NFL history for attempted passes per game. Now, the three quarterbacks that are ahead of him in the 1, 2, and 3 slot, there's a common thread with those three teams they played on. They had no running back whatsoever, no running game at all. I believe the highest total rushing on those three teams with those three quarterbacks ahead of Brady on the pass attempts, the top running back had less than 500 yards on the team. So Brady has this prolific passing offense, and he's throwing a ton, but they also have two running backs who are solid running backs. Or, hey, even if it's just one, it's better than those other teams. It's one of the most balanced offenses, or most dangerously balanced offenses that we've ever seen.
Steve, you know, you said that before the season, and I thought that was hyperbole. I thought you were taking it too far. But that was before Antonio Brown kind of looked like the old Antonio Brown. And if he gets back in the lineup, Steve, and Gronkowski's now back. And, Steve, by the way, you mentioned 42 passes a game. What we should hasten to add is I believe the Bucks have allowed the fewest sacks in the league, like 13, something like that, 12, 13. That is one hell of a combination. They're allowing one sack a game. I mean, we got to put that in perspective. So that's part of the equation. I don't think what you said is crazy. Now, look, Fournette is not Marshall Faulk. Fournette is not Barry Sanders. But he's more than serviceable. And Brady's going to the Hall of Fame. Whatever you think of Antonio Brown, he's got a compelling case for Canton. Mike Evans has a strong case because he's far from finished. And Gronkowski is going to wear a gold jacket. Steve, that's not too bad off one offense. So what you said, with a lot of time left in this season, it's not crazy. And I think Brown's presence is vital in terms of the long ball game and just rounding out this very prolific offense. And, Steve, how many times have we ever said in the past, hey, the Bucks just scored 30, 33. They should have scored 45. We say it all the time. And so that buttresses your argument. This is a hell of an offense when everybody's clicking. One hell of an offense.
For those who did not hear it, Antonio Brown's status was updated by Bruce Arians Wednesday night on Sirius XM NFL Radio. He said that he has his fingers crossed for Brown returning next week in Atlanta. He said, quote, he's moving around a lot better. He's able to put more weight on the heel and bounce around on it some. So we got our fingers crossed. Maybe we'll get him back next week. That sounds pretty promising, Ira. So I don't think it's an if. I think it's a when. And we know Brown is motivated. A, he's just a motivated guy in general, but B, he's a free agent after this season. I mean, hey, it's not like he broke an ankle or something. It's an ankle sprain, and he's coming back. And you know, it's exciting to think about what they can do. And I'm glad you mentioned the sack totals, because I believe yes, you're right. The Bucks have taken the fewest number of sacks, and they're throwing the most passes, and a couple of those sacks, I believe, are on Blaine Gabbert. So it makes it even more impressive. Yeah. And two of those sacks, if you remember, were when Brady should not have even been on the field. They were trailing by like 3 scores, and he got hit 2 sacks in a row on a final drive that never should have been for Tom Brady. They should have just taken a knee. So the offensive line can't excuse that, but it speaks to how dominant they've been. I had a note written down, Ira, that I forgot to mention it. A little smack to you. I got to say, not that I'm the biggest Robert Mathis fan in the world, but Robert Mathis, who made that Hall semifinalist cut. Simeon Rice didn't. He is the all-time leader, modern era leader, in forced fumbles. Number one.
Yeah, I think that's his claim to fame, Steve.
And he's got one less or one more. I don't know which direction it is. One or less or one more sack than Simeon Rice. So I don't know how you keep the guy out. I mean, he's got more than double the forced fumbles of Derek Brooks. He's got more than Julius Peppers. I mean, a forced fumble is better than a sack. So
it is. My only point is the eye test. Now, Buck fans obviously didn't watch Robert Mathis play like they watched Simeon Rice, but my eye test, suggests to me that Rice was the better player. And, of course, Rice was famous for the strip sack, Steve, off the blind side. He was very good at it, and he did it a lot in key situations. Without looking at the numbers, Steve, I got to think Mathis played more games than Simeon. So if you look at sacks per game, I think Simeon would have it over Mathis. Maybe the answer is they both deserve consideration.
I think they both do, for sure. And, yeah, that's part of what makes Mathis stand out so much, is that Rice was known for that. And, Mathis still has like another 20, 25 more forced fumbles. But, I'm sure Mathis probably played at least a season and a half, a couple of seasons more than Rice. So the Sage is always ready. He's always got his comeback ready. All right. So, Ira, we wanted to get this quick shot podcast in to dive into some of these important Hall of Fame subjects and get your broader feedback of Sunday's or Monday night's weird game, which weird in the sense that the Bucks had a complete bounce back, and you got people saying they didn't accomplish anything. You set the record straight. Last thing I got to ask you out of that is one question. Did it stand out to you like it stood out to me? And we'll talk more about Sean Murphy bunting with Lee, but did it stand out to you that Rob Gronkowski looked, he didn't just look healthy. He looked like 5 years ago healthy, like 2014 healthy, the way he was dragging tacklers and just his energy overall. I'm almost starting to think, Ira, that the fresh legs that Gronk got over the last couple of months, he got broken ribs, he got a few back spasms, but those fresh legs are going to be invaluable.
That's a great point, Steve, and you might be able to apply the same thing to Antonio Brown. When he comes back. Nice to think about Antonio Brown with some fresh legs. Look, I share your sentiments on Gronkowski. And Steve, he's a ferocious blocker. You know, they did mention that on the broadcast Monday night. That does separate him. That's a big reason why he's a no-doubt Hall of Famer. First ballot, no question, Rob Gronkowski. In the class of the guys where you say the name and sit down. Maybe just a little bit shy of that, because that's reserved for the, Jim Browns and Lawrence Taylors. But, you know, how many tight ends are not glorified wide receivers these days, Steve? As much as I love Travis Kelce, the Jason Wittens of the world, Greg Olsen's, this guy's different. A willing blocker, a fierce blocker. And when I asked Arians, my first question to Arians the other day, how much does the presence of Rob Gronkowski, especially over the middle of the field, open things up in Leftwich's playbook? And he said a ton. When you don't have to account for Gronkowski, you defend these Bucks a little differently, a little more effectively. So, yeah, Steve, the idea of a healthy Gronkowski down the stretch combined with a healthy Brady, I believe the Bucks are now the favorite team to win the Super Bowl, Steve, from the Vegas odds makers. I don't think that was the case before the Giants game. They were probably ranked 2 or 3. And I think right now they're number one, even though Arizona's got, they're 9-2 with a bye week and the Rams. But I believe the Bucks are the favorites, and Gronkowski's a big reason why, Steve.
Absolutely. And, I said a while ago, the math, the historical maths, and just the way this schedule is shaping up, it says that 13-4 is going to get that number one seed. And it's certainly looking like that right now. Of course, the big game ahead in some ways is the Rams have to play Arizona once again. But the Bucks have plenty on their plate. We will talk about that next podcast. It's been presented by Bill Curry Ford. We love them. BillCurryFord.com. We're all customers. It's not a joke. Florida's Elite Restoration. They are your first phone call in any disaster in your home. floridaseliterestoration.com, and join the sage at Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road, to watch every Bucks road game, including Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. Sage rolls in at about 12:15. Great atmosphere, good times with Bucks fans, and we'll be back.